So, you know, I've got an idea for a TV show for you and I.
Yeah, what is it?
It's isolation movies to watch while you're in isolation.
Oh wow. So like Castaway with
Yeah,
Tom Hanks
Castaway.
with
Yes.
Wilson the
Yeah.
volleyball. Yeah, yeah,
Yep. Yeah, I've
yeah.
jotted a few down.
What
What
else
would
you
you
got?
reckon? What would you reckon the ultimate isolation movie would be?
I reckon that's a pretty
Old.
good one. I reckon that's a
Pretty
pretty
good
good
one, but I
one.
reckon there's a better one because it Castaway is a single one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. But what about
Oh, but the
yeah?
Robinson Crusoe family, that's a good movie. Watch with the kids. That's an old 60s movie. That's great.
Yeah, that's
They
yeah.
live in a
I'm not
tree
going to argue with
house.
that. When I say this one, I think you're going to go, oh yeah, that's perfect. The Shining.
Ah, right, because that's just a I haven't seen The Shining. That's a
Ah.
crazy it's a mum a crazy mum, isn't it? And a son, isn't it,
No,
The
it's
Shining?
Nicholson, I think, and they have to mind a lodge up in during the winter,
That's
and so
right.
they're cut off from all communication. The roads are blocked and everything, and I think they kind of just go bat crazy, and that's when he chops the door down with an axe,
Oh.
you know, here's Johnny. That's when he
Oh
puts his
yeah,
face through the
right. Okay. I'm thinking of the Bates one with I'm thinking of that other one, that other horror one where the guy dresses up as his mum and he's crazy. But you know, the Bates. Anyway. What
Psycho,
about I'm thinking
Psycho.
of Psycho.
No,
I'm thinking of Psycho. What
yeah.
about the
Okay,
Omega
what's another
Man?
one?
Omega Man.
Oh, I've heard that one, but I haven't seen the movie. What's the
That's
movie
the
about?
70s. Then Will Smith remade it. It's just Charlton Heston living last man on earth, but there's zombies and stuff. There's these people around. And then he meets someone by memory. It's a great movie, The Omega Man.
See, already we've already, you know, if Channel 9's listening, they should be getting in contact. What about, okay, Misery with
Oh, yeah.
what's his name, James Caan, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Kathy Bates, where
Yeah.
she loves him and
Yeah.
she sort of takes him hostage, doesn't
Hostage.
she? Or
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, and then breaks his legs and leaves him in bed.
Oh, that's horrific, that movie. Yeah, I remember that movie. That was a good movie. That was a good
Fantastic
movie.
movie.
Other ones?
The Martian. That's a
Oh, that's
recent one.
great. Love The Martian. Love The Martian.
Martian was good. I tried to read the book, but I kind of, I
No
was
good?
going, you know. Well, it's funny, you know, I started reading the book and then I went, oh, the film's coming out. Should
That's,
I?
yeah, see the film.
It's always tempting. You go, should I put the work in on the book when I can just watch a movie? Gravity
Oh,
with, what's his name, George Clooney.
yeah, in the spaceship,
I mean, yeah, astronauts and shit, you know. Apollo 13.
What's the one where the two of them go up in the ship and everyone, they're the only two left, and he wakes the girl up? Have you seen that one? Where
Aliens?
it's
No.
not Alien, but it's where the guy, they're on like a big spaceship, and he's the only one awake, and then he goes through all the bodies that are asleep, picks out the attractive girl, and wakes her up. It's like, oh, yeah, we're gonna have a life together, and then she finds out that you know that he woke her up, and she's pissed off as you would be because they're meant to stay asleep for years so they
Yeah.
get to Mars or whatever.
Yeah,
They
right.
end up having
And
a
you
beautiful
know,
spoiler alert, but they end up having a beautiful life and all this rubbish.
is it a recent film or is it
Yeah,
an old film?
last 10 years, last 10 years for sure.
Because when the other guys woke up, they go, "What are you? How come you didn't wake me up? You know, I would have hung
I'm
out
your
with
mate.
you.
I'm your mate.
Oh yeah, we could have a good time together." He goes,
Yeah,
"Yeah, you're not that attractive, you know." I got to
woke up.
say. Yeah. What other ones? What other ones are there? Lord of the Flies. I've written
That's
them down.
yeah,
Hey,
great
I'll tell
movie.
you a good one. Lost in Translation. That was an
Yeah.
isolation film. Was he stuck in a hotel or
Bill
something?
Murray. Yeah, Bill Murray.
Yeah, in Japan.
And the
Yeah.
female actress was attractive.
Oh.
She's the one who
Yeah.
woken up on the spaceship too. It's the same actress. That's that
Oh, yeah. And you
actress.
know her name? Oh,
Oh,
no. We're having old man
I can't
disease.
remember her name. Sam, what was the name of the? Oh, it hit me.
Johansson, Johansson,
Yes, Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson,
Yeah, that's
yes,
the yes. Well done, Glenn. That's the one who got woken
yeah.
up on the spaceship. He went through and picked her out and said, "Oh, I'm going to wake you up."
All right,
Yeah.
okay. Well, there you
Well,
go. That's
yeah.
all I've got. I've got others. I've got The Thing. Do you remember The Thing,
Yeah,
the horror movie where they went down to
Antarctica.
the
Yeah,
Antarctic and
that's a
there
good
was
movie.
something living in the ice and it, you know, 127 Hours where the guy goes rock climbing.
Oh,
This is the ultimate
yes.
isolation.
Oh,
Where
that's,
the
yeah.
rock falls on his hand, he's got to I never saw the film because I'm thinking, I don't want to watch that. But
and he cuts his, and then cuts his
he cuts
off.
His own arm off.
Oh,
what are you going to do today?
Yeah.
A bit more of my arm off.
Well, 28 Days Later is a good one too, about the zombies in England. That's a great movie. When they wake up and there's like a, it's like a, there's been a virus, they call it, and everyone's running around like zombies. That's a good one. And Contagion's a good one for the time. Have you ever seen Contagion with Gwyneth?
No.
Well, it's quite telling. Yeah, she goes to a market or somewhere in Asia and buys a chicken or something like that and brings a disease back to America.
That's cool. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's quite apt, isn't it?
It's quite apt. It's absolutely
Into the Wild. Or oh, yeah. That's that one where the guy goes off and he
yeah.
isolates for a while out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a, I mean, I don't know about that, going to the bush and isolating. I don't know. It's a bit
My a nephew bit did it the other day. Harry Robbins. Cheerio to Harry. Who they've been listening to the podcast at his house while their apartment while they've been painting, and they've been putting us through the loudspeakers. So we're probably going through the loudspeakers right now.
Hello.
And I said, I'd give him a cheerio, but he went off into isolation.
Hey, and Harry, hang on a sec. You missed a spot. There we go. All right, you got it.
I reckon he just went down to like a caravan park and just pretended for, you know, a couple of weeks. You know, just, what, how's it going down there?
Couple of Sorry? Weeks he was in isolation.
I don't know. Yeah, my brother, his father, was a little concerned that, you know, he was going off. What do you call it? Going off.
Socializing
net, off.
Off the web. Off the grid.
Off the grid.
Off the grid.
Can't even think of it. But he's back painting his apartments. I haven't seen him to ask him about it. But there's an interesting. Be an interesting chat. Maybe we should ring him up one day. Anyway, and my final one is the best podcast to listen to while you're in isolation. Hello? Can you hear the music? Can you hear the music?
It's us. Yeah.
It's us. Absolutely. There you go.
Well, there you
Fantastic.
Go.
Fantastic.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So welcome to the podcast.
That gave people a few things to watch, maybe, but movies they'd forgotten about that would resonate for you. Because you go, well, I know what this person's going through because I'm going through isolation myself, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's fun times.
There's a bit of stuff online today where celebrities are whinging about being caught inside their multi-million dollar houses, and people are going, get over yourself, dickhead.
They all look the same too. They're all kind of minimalist, a lot of their places where they
live.
Listen to any stuff. Like, look at my house. There's stuff everywhere. Look at this.
Yeah, I know. And you can only sit on one couch, you know, swim in one swimming pool, play tennis court on one tennis court, work out in one gym.
What did Ricky Gervais say?
I'm just saying it's, you know, the health workers are the ones who are really suffering, not you sitting in your million-dollar house. So, and fair enough too.
As he sits in his million-dollar house.
Well, he did admit that. But anyway.
Also, a million-dollar house. I mean, you can live anywhere now when your house is worth. My mum and dad's house is worth $1 million.
Yeah, I know. It's shifted from million to billion.
Billion, I reckon. $1 billion. Exactly.
Oh, well, I don't think it's a billion-dollar house. But what if you said to someone you're a millionaire, you go, well, everyone's a millionaire, aren't they? Really?
Well, if you own a house, a lot of people. Well, not everyone, but a lot
not
of
everyone. No, sure. I'm sure there are a lot of people.
A lot of people.
You know, but us, well, me, I'm a baby boomer. We're the guilty party.
Yeah.
Because we bought all the houses up but the market's going to fall over. It's probably falling over as we speak, and coming back to earth.
Well, I'm Gen X, so I'm the generation below you. But we still bought houses, though. That's the difference. Then Gen Y, the ones below us, that are suffering. But speaking of suffering, homeschooling started today. So,
unfortunately, the baton would be passed to you, given that, as I am, you're a teacher.
As I pointed out to my wife, I finished my qualification in 1985. So that's a long time ago. It's like asking the bass player from Shudo Echo to get his bass out and start giving us a bit of down.
Yeah.
I mean, 85, that's when Neighbours was launched. You know what I mean? It was that long ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But if they were playing around,
you can do the click point out. No, because also it's 1985, kids still got hit. So, you know.
I can actually see one of your kids moving around the background through that window over there on your right side.
I'll throw the duster at him. Old school.
I was a duster monitor.
Yeah, that was a big job.
Duster monitor.
Yeah.
Good job. And you'd have to hit the dusters outside. And you'd also, if you were good at it, you took your ruler and you would slide your ruler down the crevices.
Down the crease.
Yeah, I was a classy, duster monitor.
Yeah, I also used to empty Mr. Thompson's ashtray in grade four. It was a great honour. So,
the ashtray.
The ashtray, empty the ashtray. Absolutely. Now, should we get our topics? We've been crapping on, actually.
We're not meant to do that, given that we're in isolation. We shouldn't be crapping on. We need the topics somehow related, two topics that aren't related. Well, don't seem like they are, but in actual fact, they are. And what are those topics, please, Sam?
Hot air balloons and a sheep, a duck and a rooster.
Wow.
Oh, hang on. Well, that's interesting. Mm. That's very interesting because it's three in one.
It's very specific, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I guess you could say farm animals and hot air ballooning, but she's being specific. Sheep, duck and a rooster. Right. She's not saying roosters or ducks.
No, just
she's saying a sheep.
Singular.
Singular.
Mm. Well, let's start with hot air ballooning. You ever been hot air ballooning?
Yeah, I have. I did it in the Hunter Valley. And it was good because, you know, what's the best thing about it? Obviously the view is good.
Yeah.
The silence in between the burst of hot air.
Yeah.
And we could reach out and actually grab trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did it once in the 80s. I gave it to a girl I was going out with, Cindy.
Mm, what a present.
And,
you gave it to her. What do you mean when you say you gave it to her? Did you give it
I gave her the present, Glenn. And she was so excited. And so we went up to near Wangaratta in the northeast of Victoria.
Geez, you're
all
romantic. You're pretty good.
Drove up there in the Toronto, I remember it. And we stayed two nights. And there was a group of us. There was about eight of us. And so it was all different ages or old people. And we were the youngest people there. And you'd sleep in bunk beds. In like a dormitory kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was trying to get Cindy to come down to my bunk, but she was having none of it. So,
really? I mean, God, you've gone above and beyond. I think that's the least she could do.
Well, there was other people in the room, so I think she, you know, fair enough.
So,
you can't be putting on
straight.
A show for the old people, can you? In the
dorm. Yeah, I know. But so, did you?
They were fast
asleep. Did you have to? Like, I know when you do it in the major cities, they ring you at 3 o'clock in the morning, and if they don't ring. You're kind of on a wait. You're sort of waiting for it to happen. But were you assured you were going to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because we're in the country and they do hot air ballooning all the time up there. I think that's we went twice. We went once on the Saturday and once on the Sunday. Yeah, both early morning. Yeah.
What time you got up? You left before.
Yeah,
before
dawn,
light.
Sort of dawn. Yeah. And then we go to the pub at night and then back to your bunk bed. But the pilot of the balloon. was trying to impress the girls, and he'd always hit the trees as we'd go up. I'm like, don't hit the trees, mate. That's like...
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, don't hit the trees to impress the girls. You know what I mean? Like,
they do. I must admit, it is a pretty romantic thing to do, to stand there. Hmm. And you've got that lever where you pull and it makes that
noise. Yeah, great.
You produce a bit of flame and you can just feel that hot air.
Were you scared? I was scared.
No.
I don't like heights.
No.
So.
I mean, you know, if you stop and think about it, you probably do get scared, but you kind of go, what are the chances of going down? Pretty good. Okay, bring it on. No, was it just the three of you in there? Was it good?
Oh, no. I reckon there was about eight of us. Yeah, by memory.
You probably thought you were going to propose.
Oh, whatever. We were too young for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He got the champagne out. They probably got the champagne out. I remember that.
There's probably a group of people who know how to fly balloons who are members of the Hot Air Balloon 7 Mile High Club.
Ah, yes. I wonder. Yeah, they would be, sure.
Yeah, there would be. I mean, it's pretty Anyway, not that I've ever, yeah, anyway. You know why, did you have champagne when you landed?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what the history of that is?
No, is it French? It'd be French, wouldn't it?
Yes, it's French because what they did was when they used to go hot air ballooning back in the day, they couldn't necessarily choose where they landed. And if they landed on a farmer's land, they would pull out a bottle of champagne to sort of to win them over, so to speak. So it was more about where they were landing than actual the people in the hot air balloon.
So I look on my land, would. And then, oh, pop. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah.
Well, so I don't feel so bad. I mean, sure, if, you know.
That and an envelope of cash, I reckon, would go better with the French.
But, you know, didn't they used to use it for dueling in the 1800s? Which is pretty stupid.
A stupid idea.
Yeah. A stupid idea. It's like, isn't dueling on the ground, you know, enough? Take 10 paces, turn around, bang. No, let's complicate it slightly. Let's go up into the clouds.
And the balloons.
And I guess you could drop back into the basket and it'd be a bit of a shoot-off.
Wouldn't you also just shoot the balloon first? And then... Bang, gotcha.
Damn, I never...
And he dies of the injuries. And people go, did you shoot him? Yeah, I shot him. Hey, seems to
we know why they were... Why they were? It was invented. Was it based on something? Is it purely recreational? Is it purely because I know that they did use it for reconnaissance during some of the wars.
Yeah,
they
would go military. Up and, you'd reckon military, wouldn't you? For sure.
You would think so.
Most of those innovations were something to do with the army. So I reckon it could be.
I'm thinking of this, but did you see that? I think it was a stunt on Letterman or one of those TV shows where they. Got a whole lot of helium balloons. They worked out how many helium balloons you had to hang on to before you took off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would that make sense, though? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there was that movie, Danny Deckchair, the Australian movie where the guy, went up in the sky and then landed, which is based on an American story. But, you know, there was like a Brazilian priest who did it. And then he said, I'm going to, and he just floated out into the ocean. They never saw him again. So it's not the greatest thing to do. Is it really?
No.
To go floating.
But
out.
Yeah, I reckon, you know, it would have been, I think during the American Civil War as well. I think.
Yes.
But it's the problem is, you would imagine, okay, I'll go look at what the troops are doing, and you go, don't go too far. Hang on. You couldn't stop. You couldn't turn around and come back.
Yeah, so you go right into enemy territory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they used to have ropes on them too. You see photos or pictures of them with ropes attached to them so they can pull them back.
Ah.
So I don't know.
Oh, that makes sense because they had something like that up at Uluru. And it was you could get into it, but it actually had closed down last time I was there. But you could just go up in the air and have a bit of a look around rather than getting a helicopter ride.
Yeah, it was tethered.
On a bit of rope. That's smart.
Yeah, tethered to
so
the ground.
So therefore, yeah, it's like a so you could pull it around and go to different spots, I guess. What else do we know?
What a great target, though. Ooh, the hot air balloon up there for the soldiers to shoot.
It'd be very tempting, wouldn't it? Just to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you tried to make a balloon like when you were a kid out of tissue paper? And it was like a science experiment when you make a balloon. It'll always catch fire, guaranteed. Always catch fire.
So you'd make it out of paper and then you'd put some sort of flame inside of it?
Into a little flame down the bottom. Yeah, there was a way of doing it. It was like a thing you did as a science experiment, but it was always catch fire, guaranteed, no matter what.
The only thing we had at school, I think it was in grade 6, we had a rocket making competition. And, the two poles on the netball court?
Yeah.
They put a bit of string on that and you had to make a balsa rocket with what are those little cylinders you get for making soda water?
Yeah, the gas cylinder. Yeah.
Yeah, little gas cylinder, and they somehow it was actually quite dangerous. Anyway, nobody's worked that well except for Farrell McKay's.
Farrell McKay
he made a really good one, and he's smashed into the other pole. Just smashed, obliterated it. So he was the winner of the rocket making competition. I think it was in grade 6, round about the time that, because when I was in grade 6, they landed on the moon, 69.
Yeah, wow.
So there you go.
Well, I was a member of the Model Rocket Club at Forest Hill, and we would. So you would.
Well, how often did you get together?
I remember going, and it was in the back room of a shop, and there was me, my brother, just fat guys with beards. And
so good.
And you can imagine my other brother, Mark, was going off to the Nutterwadding Lapidary Club. That's not lap dancing. That's lapidary. Where they...
What's lapidary?
Rocks. It's a rock club. And so they have a lathe in there and they polish it.
That's
it's
nice.
It's still there. My brother hey, had the perks. My brother had his 21st there at the Nutterwadding Lapidary Club in the hall. And they had a lathe and they polished their crystals. And then they have all their best crystals on display.
Did they have that tumbler thing with the water in it, which would smooth all the rocks?
Yeah, that's like
I remember
a lane.
Doing that. We had one of those at school, and we used to take a rock in, and it would come out all shiny. And you put it on a chain, and you take it home, and give it to your mum, and you go, "I made you this at school."
Yeah, it's amazing. Imagine it's what my dad thought. So where are we dropping you off at? The cricket, the football? No, Dad, we're going to the Model Rocker Club, and then the Lapidary Club. So get on board.
It's like the time my brother took up knitting. He was about 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we're driving down the beach or something for the weekend, and we're making a lot of noise in the back seat. And my dad's going, shut up. You don't shut up. I'm going to turn around and whack you. And Neil goes, couldn't be me, Dad, because I was too busy. I'm too busy with my knitting. Too busy with my knitting. There's anything wrong with that. Don't get me wrong.
Of course not. No. No, but that's a great thing to remind him of, if he's listening. Let's talk about the duck and the
one sheep, one duck and one rooster.
Well, ducks are annoying. They're annoying.
We have ducks that live in our pool. I mean, we have a swimming pool. We have ducks that come and live in our pool.
Yeah, remember Kate Lambrook bought that duck? Remember she bought a duck? I was doing radio with her just quickly, and she bought a little duck at the market and was so cute. Within about a week, it was this massive honking thing in the backyard, crapping everywhere. All the neighbours were complaining, right?
Yeah.
And so she tried to take it to a butcher. The butcher said, "I don't want your duck." And so on the way to radio, she threw it over the fence, the botanical gardens.
And it, really?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's a very fair thing to do. I mean, that's reasonable.
And one of our friends, Sean Dooley, who's known as the Birdman, people might know him from his appearances on radio. You know the Birdman. He's a bird expert. He said he had seen the duck down there because they're all native ducks and this one other duck.
That's one random duck. Just wander around and go, "Excuse me, can I?" "No, mate, you're not welcome here." Yeah.
So what are we going to say about your ducks on the ducks in the pool? You got ducks in the pool?
We have ducks in the pool, but it's fine, except they, when they're swimming around, they crap. Which then goes straight to the bottom and sticks on the bottom. And I've got to get the vacuum cleaner out. I've got to get the brush out. And you believe it for a while, it really, you know. And then they crap on the side of the pool as well. I don't know what they're eating, but it's bloody hard to get off.
Yeah, they crap a lot.
They seem to crap all the time. I've got to get the Karcher out. You know, the Karcher, which is the high-pressure spray.
It's just
not on. You like duck? Do you like eating duck? I'm not a fan. Too gamey for mine.
Too greasy. I mean, I love chicken. Chicken's probably one of my favourite meats, but I'm not a big fan of duck. I mean,
I will tolerate it in what's the Asian dish?
Peking duck.
Peking duck.
Yeah,
I do like Peking duck. Mm. But duck. I remember when I was a kid, duck a la orange.
A la orange. Yes.
Was very big. But I wouldn't. If someone said to me, "If there's duck on the menu, or quail."
Oh, spatchcock? Are you a spatchcock fan?
No.
No, you like me.
Especially when quail comes out, it looks like a little bird. At least a chicken, you know. But it looks, you're just going, they've gone out the back. They've killed a little bird and they put it on a plate. You're just going, no, it's resembling too much what it is. I don't want to eat it.
You want to get over to the Wuhan market, mate, and have a check out what they're selling at the
market. Seasons.
Well, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast before, but you know, I go out in the backyard. And we have bats that fly over and they eat the figs. And not once have I looked up and thought, I wonder what they taste like. You know?
Yeah.
I eat anything. Look at me. I'm fat.
Yeah. Anyway. I think we did talk about it. We were saying how they are not dissimilar to, like, they're rolled up quite nicely, like a bit of, what's it? San Chow Bao? It's a bit like a San Chow Bao, you know.
And my mate Albert in the local shop said, well, they must be flavored because they're fruit bats. So, you know, I'll have an apricot one, I'll have a plum one.
I heard a bad joke.
Yeah.
And it's on topic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So don't yell at me. Why don't the Chinese
play cricket.
Why not?
Because they ate all the bats. I'm not. Okay. It's a Christmas cracker joke.
They went out for a duck. Yeah. They went out for a duck. Mm. Yeah.
What can we say? Ducks. Look, you know, of all the birds, I must admit though, they are quite appealing. Unfortunately for me, we've got a golf course down the road, and we've got our place with a swimming pool. I think what happens is my ducks, for some reason, cross the main road with a trail of ducks behind them.
Yeah.
And really? Yeah, I got out there one day and I stood there trying to protect them. And you wouldn't believe, as in there was like mum duck, and I reckon there was four or five baby ducks going across the road.
Yeah.
And I tried to stop traffic. This is a main road. And people just wouldn't stop.
They were just
flying past me. They wouldn't stop for ducks. I mean, seriously.
That wouldn't be stopped for Glenn Robbins. But yeah, you got to stop for ducks.
You've got to stop for ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially ducklings.
Oh, you know. Cute.
Yeah, absolutely. So I reckon I kind of like the duck demeanor.
Donald Duck. You think of Donald Duck. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny. Scrooge McDuck and his big pool of money.
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
Well, they always said Mickey Mouse was how the Americans thought they were, and Donald Duck was the reality of the average American. No, it's just that angry.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Can you do Donald Ducks?
Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
I can't do it. I used to do much better than that. Oh, anyway. Because Mickey's kind of annoying.
Hey, Mickey. Hey, everyone.
It's like, you're annoying.
Yeah. What about, what was Goofy? How did Goofy speak?
Ooh, sort of like that, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. I reckon that's one of the first observations I remember. How come Pluto's a dog and Goofy's a dog, but Goofy stands upright and talks? Whereas Pluto, the dog, just is like a normal dog. It's very weird.
I'd be pulling that back out from the stand-up. That's
golden stuff.
That's really good stuff.
What about roosters? They're annoying as well.
Well, I'm born in the year of the rooster
in Chinese
astrology.
Isn't it fair to say you're a bit of a rooster back in your day, back when you were in your prime? Walking around.
Strutting around.
In the hen house.
Cock of the walk in the hen house.
Sadly, I didn't know you when you were in your prime. I didn't know you.
In my cock-a-doodle-doo days.
In your hot air ballooning days.
Oh, here he comes. Look at him. Buddy.
I still say it. Men want to be the biggest rooster in the room, don't they? Some men.
Yeah,
you know the
types. And they have that chest out, poke out sort of walk that they have, and they have that bit of what's the bit that wobbles on top? And their hair is often sitting up.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not a plume, it's that thing on their head, isn't it?
It makes them sort of stand out from
yeah,
the group.
See some male comics, like so alpha, they're like a rooster in the room, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they want to be the top rooster.
What are you in the Chinese? What year are you?
I'm 65. Should we ask Sam? I'm thinking the year of the rat, maybe.
Oh, there he goes. Oh, he's looking terrible.
The year of the rat. Hang on, Sam. What is 65?
1965 is the year of the snake in the Chinese zodiac calendar.
Oh, thanks, Sam. I'm the snake.
Well, you've got to say, the number one thing that the rooster doesn't want in the hen house is a snake.
Is a snake. That's right. I'm your enemy. Look out.
Because do they come in and take the eggs? I think they do.
Yeah, they
bite
do.
The eggs, don't they? Absolutely. And they bite the chicks.
The chicks.
And they probably bite the.
I mean, you're supposed to be in charge of it. You've got all those hens on your side. How I'm coming in at night, and the hens are like, "You're not doing your job, mate. You're not getting the action tonight. Stuff you."
Yeah, what would I do to stop you? I mean, you'd be good. You'd be hard to beat. You'd probably strike and then just very quietly. You come in, strike, do your business, get out of there very quietly, not unlike you, quietly going about your business and being very successful at it.
Well,
and then dropping your skin. Or eating something way too big.
Yes. That picture
trying
of
to get your mouth. Yeah.
It's like when I get inflated. My party pack of twisties at night. I eat too much. It's lighter on the couch. Oh, no.
In they go.
About sheep? What can we say about a sheep?
Poor old sheep. The poor old sheep, they're lovely. They're absolutely defenseless in the wild, are they not? They have? They have nothing.
They have nothing.
So if you're a sheep wandering around and you know, nothing. And what do they give us? They give us wool, which is probably the greatest fiber in it. I mean, we haven't come near creating a fiber better than that.
And they also give us a great artificially. They give us lamb, which is, God, I love lamb.
leg of, I mean, you know,
leg of lamb.
Imagine if you're standing there and you're thinking to yourself, well, the best part of me is my leg. Someone's going to eat it.
Yeah.
What, are you a good bloke? No, I'm not a good bloke. Can you do anything? I can't do that much. I just stand around and eat grass. And what are people eating? They eat my legs.
I got four of them. Well, roosters don't get it. You don't eat the rooster, I think. Roosters don't get eaten.
They'd be too gamey, I think. They'd be too tough, wouldn't they?
I think people do eat roosters, but you got to get them early, I think. Whereas ducks, people are very happy to eat ducks and sheep as well.
Have you ever had to shear a sheep? The only reason I say that is I have, and it's really hard.
It's really hard.
I did it for Russell Coit as a stunt.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether you remember, but in the stunt that we did, Russell Coit had a shearing competition.
Yeah.
And Russell did it really badly, and just the sheep just came out with just chunks all taken out of it.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
It was. He did a really bad version of it. But yeah, they were quite. You've got to be strong.
Shearers work
incredibly hard. But they are quite passive, and then you just tip them back up again, and they go straight down the chute, and they're fine. But
Remember that movie about shearing? Was it Sunday Bloody Sunday with Jack Thompson?
That had the wiggling asses scene in it where they were washing their hands and they were wiggling their asses. I don't know why I remembered that. It's no reflection of me. Was that Sunday Bloody Sunday?
I think it was Sunday Bloody Sunday, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember the cook would cook meals for them and stuff. Yeah, it's a good movie. Mm. What, should we get some thinking music then?
I think so. I've got an idea. How about this? How about this? Given that we've got three topics, or we've got three on one side and one on the other, how about we have some hot air ballooning sound effects? So we're floating through the air, but we're floating above sheep and roosters. So, Sam, if you can make up a little blend, you know what I mean? Let's go on a ride in a hot air balloon over the top of sheep, cows, and roosters. Come with us now on a journey. Over farmland.
Wow. Wow, that was lovely. Yeah,
that felt good. That was lovely.
For isolation, that was excellent. I really liked it.
Maybe you should use that for like a meditation or something, because that's quite... Because if you're flying over, let's say you're flying in Africa, a hot air ballooning, you wouldn't want to come down. But if you heard a rooster, a cow, or a duck, or whatever, a sheep, you'd be happy to land there.
Yeah.
So that's quite a meditative... sound effect. Okay, do you want to have a go? Oh, I'll have a go first.
You go first. I got no idea.
I'm going to say that they used hot air ballooning with on a rope, like you said earlier, for herding animals like sheep. I don't know how you herd ducks. Maybe
I was going to say something similar. I was going to say that they were used as a transport. That's what they invented to transport.
Oh, that's a good idea.
To transport farm animals.
So in other
words,
you're saying you put them in a cage and then you pick them up and you sort of carry the cage. Oh, that's – I reckon you've got it.
Really?
That's quite clever. Yeah, no, that's much better than mine.
Let's see what Sam's going to say.
The first hot air balloon flight was made with non-human living creatures in Paris, France, 1783. Passengers on the flight were a sheep that resembled the weight of a human, a rooster, and a duck. The Montgolfier brothers created the experiments performed before a crowd at the Royal Palace in Versailles before King Louis XIV of France and Queen Marie Antoinette. Over 130,000 spectators were said to have been there. Prisoners as passengers were proposed by the king, but the three animals were chosen instead. The duck was included as a control because it could fly at high altitudes. The rooster acted as another control as it's a bird. The balloon reached about 460 meters into the sky before landing safely around 8 minutes later.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible. So you're sort of right. But in actual fact, they're like that dog. Who was the Russian dog that went up? What was his name? Up into space? Remember they put a dog in space?
He died in space. Very sad.
Oh, did he die? That's he right. Died. That's what we talked about.
And then
about
they put that. Monkeys. And one of the names of the monkeys was called Ham. That went up. I know there's a bit of trivia. I can't remember the name of the name of the dog will come to me. But how is that 130,000 people gathered?
130. That's the MCG for the grand final in Melbourne. Full plus another 30,000. So, in actual fact, that's the MCG with the field, the ground field as well.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A sheep, a duck, and a rooster fly in a hot air balloon.
And they all landed safely, which is nice. And Marie Antoinette was there, and the king. Great.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Do you reckon maybe when it did land that they ate the duck
and the sheep? I reckon.
It's duck for everybody.
They're French. Yeah. So the French, as we know, they eat horses. Yeah. They eat a lot of stuff. They love their meat.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've been to France, you know, they love a bit of anything can be on the menu in France. Laika. What's the name of the dog?
Oh.
Laika.
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 Oh, well done.
Just came to me. Yeah. Just came to me.
Yeah. It's very sad. But anyway, they survived. And went on to do what they do. Well, so, do you think you'll ever go hot air? Would you ever go hot air ballooning again? Given that you're a father now, given that you know,
only if the kids wanted to do it. But yeah, I mean, I struggle with light planes, you know. So I don't know how I'd go.
Yeah,
let me tell you, the last time I was offered to go on a light plane was when I had a gig in Bairnsdale, and it was and I got offered to go on the Paddy Pie private plane from Paddy's Pies.
I love Paddy's Pie. You've got to admit that the on-flight food would have been magnificent. It would have been Paddy Pies, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not exactly the BHP Learjet, is it? No, that's what the guy said. He goes, and one of my friends went on it, another comedian, Des, went on it, and he said it was a really old plane. But as the guy said, you got to eat pies, you know? And I said, well, that's good. At least I'll die doing what I loved. You know what I mean? Oh, we found his body. He's covered in blood. Now that's sore.